Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy
they bring to me,
how I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
what joy they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we go into your word, we ask for the Holy Spirit to be with us, to open our hearts and minds, Father, so that we can receive the greater instruction in thy word, to be better equipped, Father, to walk in this world in speaking the word to those that are walking in darkness. Father, we do ask to be used and used greatly, Father, not to lift us up, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ and to be of help in those that are walking in darkness, to come to realize that they need something more than just themselves and the things of this world, that they need to be laying up treasures in thy kingdom. Now, Father, be with us this morning throughout this study. This, Father, is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now, we're going to be in the last chapter of 1 John, and we'll see where that'll get us and how far God can take us this morning with these 21 verses in 1 John chapter 5. Now, as we go in to this first verse, it says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. we know that here in this church we're speaking here, John is, God the Father. This beget means the Father. Father God. And the one that he's speaking about is begotten of him. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know that he's using an illustrative form, the one who hears the Father customarily hears also the red Father's child. Thus, the person who truly loves God will also get the Son his due. That is begotten of him. It could also refer to individual believers. In this case, John would be stressing that he who loves God in truth will also love other children of God. In other words, each other. Now, pardon me. Verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Now, once again, the relationship to God and obedience to his commandments are inseparable, linked. We know this. But it stirs up our memory again. Now, 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And this whatsoever refers to every believer born of God. You see, when you become that born-again child of God, the things of this world really hold no meaning for you, because you're looking to things of his kingdom and how to please him in walking and keeping his word and his commandments, so that when we step out of this life, we know that we have heaven made as our home. So this world just don't mean that much to us. Now, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. There is conquering power through this confession, because God is sovereign over the world, and only through the Son does man have access to and find favor with God. Yes, we have to go through Jesus. There is no other way. Even our prayers goes through Jesus. They are done in Jesus' name. We are told that in the Word of God. He tells us, he says, pray to the Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus, and I will hear from heaven. And you know, if I hear, then you can have the petition you have asked for. All right, unless it's contrary to God's word. You see, our prayer should always also be in line with the word of God. Now, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood, And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. The water and the blood. This is the water of Jesus' baptism and the blood of his atoning death. The Spirit gives assurance that the biblical message about Jesus is true. You see, we hold truth of God and of his word and of the Lord in our hands every time we pick up and hold the Bible. Now, 7. But there are three that bear record in heaven. You've heard me quote this many times. Now here, you can see it if you're following me. And if you're not, you can hear it. Not out of his word. They bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, which is the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Now, 8. And there are three that bear witness in earth. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Now, with the Greek manuscripts are unanimous in showing that verse 7 should end with record. Literally, it says there are three to bear witness. Likewise, verse 8 should read simply, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three are in agreement. The longer version of these verses made their way into the tradition, printed Greek Testament, and thus into the King James Version to influence of the Latin Bible and only 4 late Greek manuscripts. The point of John's original version is that the witnesses in verse 6 comprise one unified testimony to the veracity of the gospel. This insight in turn paves the way for verse 9. Now, as we go into 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. So we know, because it is recorded here in the Word of God, by John, it was given to him by the Holy Spirit to record. So we know that it is all true and that there are three in heaven. And we know that those three are one. Those three are one. Now, and we also know that there are three bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. In other words, we have the Holy Spirit, the water, our baptism, and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these three agree in that. Now, as we go in here now to 10, he that believeth on the Son of God has the witness in himself. He that believeth not God has made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his son. Now, none of us wants to proclaim God himself being a liar. No. That's a sin we don't want on us at all. So we know that what is given to us is true. 11. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Eternal life is in his Son. Because unless we go through the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him into our lives and walk close with him and keep the commandments of this word, we'll never make heaven our home. 12. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God hath not life. It don't mean that you're going to quit existing. What it means is that separation from God and from heaven, which means that you're going to spend your time in hell with Satan and his bunch. 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, you know, as we look back to verse 10, to deny the biblical witness of Christ is to reject God himself. Thing that we just read, John sums up the message of his epistle. Many authorities end the verse at the word life. Unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, is stressed in the original, eternal life is contingent on personal trust in Christ. All right, now, as we go into 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. You see, our prayers to him are to be in line with his word and with his will. Now, we don't know all of God's will, but we do know a lot about his word, and we know to be in line with it and not asking for the frilly things of this world, because we don't need them. We can't take them with us. But if we have them, we can sure let them come between us and the Lord. And that he does not want to happen either. Now, 15. And if we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. That assurance of salvation leads to confidence and petition. Effectual prayer is according to his will. Whose will? God's will. 16. If any man see his brother sin, a sin, which is not unto death. He shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. Now, in 16, you know, here, brother means fellow Christian. Every Christian is liable to sin. Believers are to intercede for one another when stumbling and curse. Sin unto death, John may be thinking of the sins he has urged against throughout the epistle and refusal to accept Christ as God's incarnate Son, habitually disobedience to God's commands, and constant failure to love others. These are marks of an unregenerated person. John is not commanded, though he is also not forbidding, that prayer be offered for such people. Sin not unto death. These would be sins that do not mark deliberate and persistent rebellion against God. These are the sins every Christian finds himself subject to and must struggle against in themselves, unlike sins of death. They do not constitute apostasy from biblical truths of failure to trust obediently in Christ. Forgiveness and reconciliation with God is, therefore, a possibility. Resistant prayer can make it a reality. Now, we go into 17. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. All right. Now, we found out about them. And here in 18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. You see, even a lot of scholars, biblical scholars, and the seminaries do not depend upon the Holy Spirit for their knowledge, and they keep continuing to think along man's ways, just as we were reading here in the footnote of 16 and 17, and then talking about those born of God committing those sins that was not sins unto death. You know, any sin, anything that we know is sin, we are to leave alone and not do it. Now, yes, there are things that would be wrong that we may not know as of yet, because we don't know all of this Bible. But if we are committing them, they are being forgiven because they are not being counted to us as sin. We didn't know. But once you know that something is wrong, you leave it alone. Now, he tells us here, whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. You see, because you have been given everything you need to stand against that wicked one. You have the authority and the use of the name of Jesus, and you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit with the power and all and the knowledge and all that you need in order to remove that evil thing even from you. And just tell it to go. You don't just stand against it, but you tell it to go. And when you do so in Jesus' name, it's got to go. 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. The whole world lieth in wickedness. 20. We know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. A final note of assurance. Believers are in God, despite the majority of humanity lying in the power of Satan. Christ has come. He has imparted spiritual insight. Thus we know him because he has made himself known and are in him because he has claimed us. This is the true God. This can be translated, he, meaning Jesus Christ. John concludes with a ringing affirmation of the full deity of the Son, a notable theme of John's gospel. And then with 21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. And idols here may well have the sense of erroneous concepts of God. John addressed such false notions throughout the letter. And however fervent our love for others and our adherence to God's commands, such human efforts will come to nothing apart from true understanding of God as revealed in Christ, to know him as he is called, as he is, cause of love and obedience to be the redeeming, worshipful response to God that he intends them to be. We have now come to the end of 1 John. We will be stopping here for this morning. And this evening, we will take in 2 John, and we will be getting through all of it, because there's only 13 verses, but there's quite a bit in it. And then we'll go into 3 John. And again, there's only 14 verses there. We don't know, because it just all depends on what all God's got for us. But we may get through both. And then we'll be back in to Jude. Now, We're getting close to the end of the New Testament. And I'm praying now to see what God wants me to do when we reach the end. All right. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we love this word and we thank you for it. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. Father, I do pray for Israel. I pray for them to gain peace, Father. But even more than that, Father, I pray that each one of them will come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him as their Savior and their Messiah. In this land of ours, Father, that is filled with so much evil because of the evil people we have sitting in our high offices of our government, that has brought a lot of things into being that should never have been, and that has even gotten now into a lot of our churches. It should never have been let in the front door. Father, we pray now that those that have brought this about, such evils as man with man and woman with woman not being sin, that it's all right. It's just an alternate lifestyle. And it has been even accepted into some of our churches. Father, I pray that those can be removed from office that has brought this all about, because that's not the only one they brought. Father, that they be replaced with those that are walking in righteousness, that love you and love the Lord Jesus Christ, loves the church, loves your people, and this land in which we live. And will work with us, Father, to put our government back upon the foundation that it's been taken off of, and that your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, pray now for those within my heart. Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, Amy and Tom Jacob, Bobby and Millie Johnson, my wife, Father, and all of those in that nursing home in Brandenburg, Father. Father, Daryl and Debbie, Alex Stone, Sue Branson, Courtney and Shane, Chris and Sam, and those children, a little family, Father, for myself, we all, Father, need each other's prayers, and I'm praying for each one of them that they stand in him. And those that have sickness to be healed and to be kept through the day, this day, Father, as a separate safe, and bring us back together again this evening at 6 p.m., Father, back into your word. I pray this all In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a good day. Walk with God, He'll walk with you. Bye-bye now.